Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Ag Talk with the Ag Doc, and I'm your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey. Today's episode is another mini episode, and here's your preview. First, I'll cover the USDA's August 17th crop progress report, and then we'll spend the remainder of this mini episode with several short interviews from the 360 Yield Center Proving Grounds that took place last week near Tremont, Illinois. All right, let's do this.
You're listening to Ag Talk with the Ag Doc, presented by Dynamite Ag. Now, here's your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey.
Welcome everyone to Ag Talk with the Ag Doc. Just like last week's episode, today I present you with another shorter episode that was live from the field. In case you missed it, the last podcast featured Eric and Sheila Hasselstrom, who farm near Winchester, Idaho. Now, for this podcast, I interviewed several of the 360 Yield Center regional agronomy managers at their respective stations at the Proving Grounds last week. I also have a quick interview with an independent agronomist who is attending the event to take a look at what all 360 is offering. And finally, my last guest is super awesome and a top secret surprise, but suffice it to say that you will know who it is when you hear her voice. And just so you know, I've started to get responses back to the emails I've sent out for guests for some upcoming shows. I'm very excited to tell you I've got a great lineup for you in these coming episodes. I have some industry experts as well as some university professors on the docket, covering topics from cover crops to nitrogen management to earthworms to seed treatments. So stay tuned because we have some great info coming down the pike. All right, that's enough of a preview. Let's get started today with What's Up in the World of Ag. If you'll recall, last week we discussed the USDA's recent, and I should probably add controversial, crop production report. In today's episode, we turn back to your regularly scheduled crop progress report. Now, if you've been following the podcast at all, or if you've been reading the crop progress report on your own, there's very little in yesterday's report that's going to surprise you. For example, as far as corn in the dough stage goes, Indiana, Kansas, and Missouri are all still a bit behind, while Illinois and Nebraska are pretty much on par with the five-year average, and Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin are all ahead of their five-year averages. One thing that is fairly interesting in this week's report, however, I guess, is that literally every state except for Colorado and Pennsylvania are actually behind their five-year averages as far as corn that's dented. So I guess that means keep packing starch, boys. Now, just for fun, I guess I'll go ahead and discuss the corn conditions, which again is interesting in the wake of last week's report, but here goes. Missouri's corn crop is reported as 50% good to excellent, and the other half obviously then falls somewhere between very poor and fair. Indiana is reporting 12% excellent, 36% good, 28% fair, and 24% is either very poor or poor. Now, despite being wet in places, almost 60% of the Illinois and Kansas corn crop is rated as good to excellent. Three-quarters of the North Dakota corn crop is good to excellent, while 82% of Iowa's and 88% of the Minnesota's corn crop is good to excellent. In short, guys, the upper Midwest still looks good for corn, just like they have pretty much all year long. Soybean bloom is in full swing, although it does appear to be just ever so slightly behind the five-year average, pretty much across the board. Except, of course, for Missouri, where there's still less than 75% bloom compared to their five-year average of almost 90%. And as far as pod set on soybean goes, there's a little more variation compared to the five-year trend line, except again in Missouri, where just over one-third of the beans are currently setting pods. You know, I gotta tell you guys, if you farm in Missouri this year, my heart goes out to you. I work with a lot of clients from all across the state of Missouri, and I know it's been an incredibly frustrating and tough year down there. So keep fighting the good fight, guys, and we'll hope next year goes better for you. I want to talk spring wheat real quick, because as you know from the last podcast, I got to go out and take part in the spring wheat harvest in both Washington and Idaho a few weeks ago. Spring wheat harvest is way ahead of schedule this year, and it looks like the state of Washington is the farthest ahead as they're almost 90% done already compared to their five-year average of only 35% for this time of year. The early harvest may have come with a bit of a cost, though, as you heard on the last episode in the interview with Eric and Sheila, because as you look at the condition ratings, most states are reporting wheat is in the fair to good category, although over half of Washington's wheat was rated poor or very poor. Well, that's your August 17th USDA Crop Progress Report. Here shortly, we'll jump into the interview from the 2015 360 Yield Center Proving Grounds. But first, this.
Hey guys, if you're looking to plant cover crops, Dynamite Ag can help. We'll work with you to create a custom blend based on your crop rotation and management goals. And did you know that some states are now offering financial incentives for planting cover crops? If you're looking to incorporate cover crops into your operation, give us a call at 641-919-5574 or head over to dynamiteag.com and shoot us an email. In the meantime, we wish you a safe and successful harvest.
Alrighty. Last week, about 1,500 farmers from all over the world converged on Greg Souter's farm in central Illinois for the 2015 360 Yield Center Proving Grounds. I was there for all 3 days of the program, and I caught up with several of the regional agronomy managers and asked them to briefly summarize what they covered in their sessions. So, in case you weren't there, here's a summary of what you missed. So I'm standing here today with Tim Souter. Tim is obviously Greg's son. And Tim, what's your official title with 360?
All right, Kurt. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. My title here is really just the Director of Research and Development, Engineering. My role is to work on product development and work with our engineers.
And anybody who's been around also knows you're the app guy and the tech guy, right? So we just came through the session on Yield Patrol, and there's some new technology that 360's introduced. And tell us a little bit, what is Yield Patrol?
You bet. Happy to. So here at 360, we're really working on making the ability to measure soil easier for our farmer customers and figuring out how we connect back all the data that you want to get while you're in the field collecting the soil itself. So one of the things we've developed is our new app, 360 Yield Patrol, that works on iPhones and iPads. And the focus of Yield Patrol is to really go with you side by side as you collect soil samples. It helps you navigate to the points you want to collect. And then when you're there collecting them with the probe itself, you can document how deep you took it, when you took it, and where you took it in the field. And that information is really critical when we come back to use that sample later to build a prescription or to use it in a more significant way. Knowing where we took it from and when we took it is a pretty important step.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but it integrates nicely with the soil scan app that we've currently got out and with the soil scan system, correct?
That's exactly right, and that's really why we're excited about it. We're using our cloud database behind the scenes to connect your Yield Patrol account with your soil scan. So your soil scan already knows, as it sits back in the shop, that you've taken samples and where those samples have come from, so that when you arrive at your soil scan, it's ready and waiting for you to test whatever samples you took.
That's awesome, Tim. Thank you so much. So I'm standing here with Josh Messer. Josh, tell us your official title with 360.
I am the Regional Agronomy Manager for the Dakotas and Western Minnesota, and just recently Nebraska and Colorado as well.
Cool. And you are also the individual who is talking about one of the new bits of technology from 360 Yield Center, and I actually can't believe I'm standing here having this conversation given you know how I feel about anhydrous. So talk to me about what are you presenting on today?
So today, Matt Foles and I are presenting on the 360 EquiFlow. This is a high-pressure, high-capacity anhydrous application system, and 360 stepping into anhydrous.
Just so we're clear here, yes, 360 Yield Center is stepping into anhydrous ammonia. Dynamite Ag, however, is not. So if the new EquiFlow system is something that's of interest to you, I'll be more than happy to put you in touch with another 360 Yield Center dealer who can help you out. Okay, back to the interview.
Most people can't believe that Greg Souter is actually talking about anhydrous ammonia in a positive light, but no matter what the nitrogen source, we wanted to give growers the opportunity to do it accurately and precisely, and the EquiFlow system allows for that. With most cold flow heat exchanger systems, we run into as much as 25% row-to-row variance, and then we've got corn rows having a good day, corn rows having a bad day. Really tough to side dress at the exact time that plant needs it. So we want to make sure that we're getting the right rate to every row, feeding that plant evenly. We want to try to move guys away from 100% anhydrous ammonia. That is definitely not the route we want to go. As always, split apply, spoon feed that crop. So if we're going to use ammonia because of its economics and logistical benefits, we want to make sure that we're out there with a good, accurate base rate in the fall.
Now, let me go on the record of saying this, Josh, because I know the research out of Canada says that if guys will use, you know, no more than 70 to 80 pounds, then you won't see a lot of the negative effects that we typically associate with anhydrous and that I'm very vocal about. When you're talking about a base rate, I mean, what are we talking about?
I think that's going to depend on where the guys are in the Corn Belt. But when I say a base rate for me on my home farm is going to be in that 60 to 80 pounds. Now that might get up to as much as 100, 120 pounds. So we might have a few ill effects on the bacteria, the fungi in the soil, maybe some long-term effects with compaction. But, you know, if guys are rotating out and using a lot of diversity out in their crops, we're probably going to alleviate a lot of that pressure from the negative effects.
And so just so we're all on the same page, I mean, even 360 would say the days of, you know, putting out 200 pounds pre-plant are probably behind us.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about getting the return on your investment. So if we're going to be putting a drop of nitrogen out there, I want to make sure I'm getting the money out of that investment.
Absolutely. So, Josh, obviously I tell people all the time, I'm equipment stupid. I'm a nutrient guy, right? I jumped on the Y-drop train because to me it's about the placement of the nutrients. So what is it that, in a word or two words, what's the real benefit to growers if they want to adopt a system like this?
The accuracy. And you do not lose the capacity as the temperatures drop, because as temperatures drop, that's when we should be applying our ammonia. Old systems rely on tank pressure for distribution as well as injection. We only rely on tank pressure to feed the system. We do a very good job of eliminating the vapor ammonia and condensing that back down into liquid and getting 100% liquid distribution to each row, so that creates that 100% accuracy.
All right. Well, thus concludes the interview that pains my soul. Thanks, Josh. So I'm standing here with Austin Ely. Austin, tell us your official title with 360.
Product design.
Product development, yep.
Okay, and your background's in engineering, correct?
Yep.
So we were just at the tent here at the 360 Proving Grounds that we were talking about the 360 chain roll and some of the other things like that. Talk to us a little bit about the technology we've got in the chain roll, the yield saver, and some of the things that are coming down the pipe like that.
Sure. Well, the first thing that we're going to be introducing in the beta this year is the 360 chain roll. And what you'll find with that is a retrofittable chain roll or stalk roll to go on Deer 600 series corn heads and Deer 4090 series corn heads. And we plan to advance that into the market further in subsequent years, but at this first launch, that's what we're going to be doing here. And the goal of that product is to help us manage residue as we look at it. We try to bookend the season, manage nitrogen, manage that carbon to nitrogen ratio. This product will size the material, size the stalk, so that we can manage it with our row cleaner. So in the spring, we have less, we're looking to do research and prove out our theories here, but have less seedling blight as we don't have that toxicity in the soil due to the residue breakdown. But then also in the fall, we'll be able to manage that all better as we draw it into the corn head, cut it up into different sizes, and the breakdown because of the pieces that we're putting into the corn head or the chaining motion. So about every inch and a quarter, we're actually cutting through the rind of the stalk and opening up the pith to expose it to the microbes for breakdown.
And I know that we've kind of discussed this as like a strip tiller and a no-tiller's dream, but Greg was even talking about doing some conventional tillage here in the field just now. Explain how that might fit into that program as well.
Sure. Well, the diversity of the product and what we do to the stalk is really what's exciting here, is it's a single product that can go across multiple different farming practices. So in a full-on tillage, you know, an 870 ripper, what that's going to do is bury that residue, and so we'll still be able to take full advantage of the fact that we have that stalk opened up for breakdown, but also it's sized nicely, so you get a lot better cover on that rather than a 4 to 5 foot stalk piece that you may experience rabbit hutching around the shanks of your ripper or just otherwise difficulty in covering that material as you head into the fall.
How about yield saver? I know that one of the things that I love about coming to the Proving Grounds and the different events is, and Greg even mentioned this is not some super top secret, we're never going to let you know what's next. In fact, we may bring something out, he said even a little prematurely. What's up with the yield saver?
Well, that's a very exciting product for us. And in fact, we just got that fully assembled about probably a week, 10 days ago, we got our product in. So we've only been working on that for probably a month or two. But the fact is we stuck it on a corn head, ran for 20 to 30 minutes on that and already seeing significant gains. The concepts have proven out that we should right now in a pre-alpha, as you mentioned, just look behind the curtain of what's going on, about a 2/3 gain in retaining kernels in the corn head. So a reduction of 2/3 or 66% in head loss. And so we know we have a lot of work to do on that, a lot of development in regards to how do we handle stalks or how do we pull those into the head and down corn, how do we react in that scenario. midday afternoon when the stalks are fluffy and wanting to gather up in the corn head, how do we handle that? And also how do we handle the other end of the spectrum when the stalks are really ropey and wet with a heavy dew? So this is something that will also be retrofittable. We hope to have that testing yet this fall and look for a beta next year. So
awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Austin.
No problem. Thank you.
Now I'm with Jamie Brand. Jamie, give us your official title with 360 Yield Center.
I'm the Regional Agronomy Manager for Iowa and Kansas.
Okay. Actually, I didn't know that, so that you're in Kansas now too, huh?
Yeah. We continue to kind of revolve around our territories, but we've been very blessed.
Okay. Very good. Well, so Jamie, today we are at the 360 Proving Grounds. We're at the tent where we've been discussing Y-Drop and the undercover system, and these have kind of been the flagship tools or pieces of equipment, I guess, if you want to think of it that way, over the last year here for 360, or at least the ones that are the most well-known. But we're looking at some updates and some new technology here. Talk to me about some of the updates we're looking at.
Well, some of the updates to the system that we were selling in 2015 is we continue to challenge ourselves to make that a system that not only has extremely good placement, crop safety, but also gives the farmer the ability to spray in the morning and come back and wide drop in the afternoon. So it's an efficiency factor, and then it's the ability to take a highly technical product, hang it back on quickly, and be able to return back and have extremely good placement.
One of the big questions we've got, Jamie, over the course of the last year, at least that I've gotten, I'm sure other dealers as well, what about 15-inch corn or even beans for that matter? What about that? And now we're seeing the possibility of going into some 15-inch crops.
Yeah, the engineering team was given a challenge to say, hey, we've got either specialty crops or corn or soybeans here that we would like to utilize your technology, but our row spacing is less than 20 inches. So the engineering team has come up with a Y-drop boot that has the ability to now snug in instead of 20 inches down to 15-inch corn or soybeans or whatever that crop choice might be. Along with that, as I mentioned earlier, there's a shield that is an update option that would go in there, especially as you go to narrower rows, just to help protect those corn leaves from any type of tattering from that system being run through the row.
Jamie, the word on the street is that Hagee is about to unveil a dual tank system at the Farm Progress Show, which would theoretically allow for growers, in addition to applying nitrogen through the Y-drop, they could also simultaneously apply something like foliar fertilizer, fungicide, etc. through the undercover. Is that correct?
That is correct. We've gotten word, and Hagee's been a great partner to us. They bring a great machine that makes our technology go a wider window than a lot of standard OEM machines. Hagee has worked at bringing their smaller version of what was the DTS with the dual tanks to be able to deliver not only a much lighter weight machine to be able to go through our crops, but also the ability to go in, like you said, Kurt, to apply two different products at the same time while you're putting nitrogen, also the potential to add a foliar or a fungicide that could potentially block disease from coming in and prevent any of that stress on the plant.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what the rest of the day brings, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Kurt, thank you very much. I appreciate your support.
Now I'm with Jim Hedges at the 360 Proving Grounds. And Jim, we're out here again at the Y-drop and undercover tent specifically. What are some of the new things we're taking a look at out here at this tent?
We're really taking a look at both how we are getting superior placement because of what our engineers have done from a redesign. It's interesting, Kurt, did you see those guys follow to see that precise placement? We think that's really critical because we're going to get faster uptake and we're going to get better utilization of uptake. So more bushels of corn out of every pound of nitrogen. We're also looking at what kind of coverage we're getting with undercover, and it's pretty incredible to see that spray pattern. I mean, I know you saw it. It's impressive. Also looking at some of the redesign on how we keep plant protection from injury from the application equipment. So the new boot system, as well as the new spray mount package. So that's kind of what the highlights of what we're looking at are.
Jim, is it fair to say that one of the key benefits that 360 is going to bring to growers, specifically through the Y-drop, really is the nitrogen use efficiency? In other words, you're getting more bushels out of the same nitrogen or potentially even more bushels out of less nitrogen?
That's exactly right, Kurt. I mean, my whole focus, because you know I'm a farmer as well, is I want to increase my output, I want to decrease my input, and the only way I can do that is through a better nitrogen to bushel ratio.
at the same time, that's great from a sustainability standpoint. As we think about regulation and environmental concerns, I mean, it's good from that, the three of those. So you've got a great triangle there. It's great environmentally, it's great from an output, and it's great on an input.
Awesome. Well, I know we got another tram coming, so thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it.
I'm walking back now from tent number 5 back to the main tent with Susie Vinnip, who's an independent agronomist from Indiana, and she was kind enough to wait on me and walk back with me since I was talking to Jim and Jamie long enough back there that we actually missed our tram. So, Susie, thanks for taking this long walk back with me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Susie, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, where you're from, and what's going on over in Indiana right now.
I mainly work anywhere, I-65 south all the way to the Ohio River. I've been working independently for the past 3 years, have enjoyed it a lot. I try to get to the, find out the, what the limiting factor of the guys that I work with and try to put a program together from seed selection, you know, and now all the way to nitrogen management. And I'm pretty excited because I think the nitrogen piece is what we've been missing to get to that 300 bushel corn that we want to see.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about nitrogen today, obviously being at a 360 event. We've now been through 4 of the 5 tents together here. We got one left. What kind of things have you heard or learned so far that have kind of caught your attention?
I think mainly placement, probably placement of nitrogen as well as micronutrients and any nutrient, you know, for that matter.
Yeah, placement's a big deal, and if you think about the International Plant Nutrition Institute's 4R approach, right, to nutrient stewardship, right source, right place, right time, right rate. That does imply that if there's such a thing as a right any one of those, there's also a wrong any one of those. And I think that some guys, you know, it's stepping on toes a little bit to say, well, maybe putting it at the base of the plant would be better than putting it out in the middle, because that's historically what everybody's done. Would you agree?
Yes, but I think we just need to be, we're going to have to make a change to see the changes in the yield that we want to see. And, you know, change is hard sometimes, but we have to bite the big one and do it.
So, Susie, guys that have been following the crop progress report, you know, you look at that, it sure seems like Indiana and Illinois are both in a lot of trouble, but you live in southern Indiana and drove through a good portion of Illinois to get here today. What's your assessment of what the crops are like and based on the crop progress report and all that?
Things looked a lot better throughout, you know, central Illinois than I thought that would on the way out here, but I think they have a pretty good crop between, you know, between where I'm from and central Illinois. Southeastern Indiana crops, they look very good. The things that don't look good, where we had pre-plant anhydrous on, we're missing, you know, we're missing on some nitrogen, you know, being that it's late. I feel like this year specifically would have been a great wide drop year and would have made a lot of money.
Do you think we'd both agree, Susie, that if a guy is currently doing all fall applied anhydrous, or if he's currently doing maybe all side dressed, that we would consider it a success if they would look at just moving that needle just a little bit? So if they're doing all fall applied anhydrous, maybe they'd back that down a little bit and do some sort of split application. If they're doing all of it, you know, with the planter or with some side dress, maybe they could find somebody to do some custom wide drop work. Just like I said, basically just moving that needle one little click. Would that be a success, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think that we do need to be split applying our nitrogen, whatever source it may be, just split applying it. And, I mean, I don't see how we're going to go wrong. We're never going to see the yields we want to see without doing that. And I think eventually we're going to use less nitrogen, you know, make more money with less money involved.
I agree, and I think it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, placement today, right? That's been one of the key things we've talked about. And when you look at what the International Plant Nutrition Institute says about right source, right rate, right place, right time, they have it. I love the image because it's beautifully illustrated because it looks like a puzzle, and all those pieces are interconnected. So theoretically, if we could get it in the right place, we could use a lower rate. Is that correct?
Oh, there's no doubt.
And, of course, timing is connected to that as well. So, again, that's where something like your wide drop comes in. Even if a guy doesn't want to go hog wild and do every acre, I think we'd both agree that, yeah, at least trying it out would be, you know, something to consider. So let me ask you this, Susie, at the end of the day, we're almost back here. As you walk away from the proving grounds today, what is it that you're going to take from here and take back home to the growers that you work with to help them out?
Specifically, all the nitrogen management components, everything that they have to offer that's going to help me make a nitrogen decision better than what I currently have. Like that, we really didn't talk about it, but the soil scan machine to me is going to be an important tool to make that happen.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Susie.
Thank you.
We just finished up our last session here at the 360 Proving Grounds for 2015, and I'm now sitting here with Stephanie Smith. Stephanie, what's your official title with 360?
I am the Regional Agronomy Manager for Northern Indiana and Michigan.
And then what do you actually do?
I cover all of the East Coast in Canada as well.
That's kind of what I thought. You know, I've talked to Messer and Jamie Brand and different guys and even Tim as we've gone around, and they've all done a wonderful job today. I'm taking nothing away from them. However, I'm a big nerd. I have a heart for education, and I don't think it's any secret that what you and Jim Schwartz just covered was the most educational topic as we've gone to the different tents. What did you guys cover here?
You know, we're really taking a look at nitrogen, when that plant needs it, how we can best use it in our soils, how we lose it, and how we can preserve it throughout the season as well as we can. So we started with nitrogen. We also touched a lot about sulfur this year. So walking through fields all across the Midwest, a lot of growers are now noticing a lot more sulfur deficiencies than they ever have. Obviously a mobile nutrient, weather dependent as well. So touched on nitrogen and sulfur availability and progression throughout the season.
And when you're talking about saving it or holding on to it, we were talking about nitrogen stabilizers as well. And you were talking about how I think a lot of guys misunderstand. They think that some of these products are competitive products, you know, and really they're not. I wouldn't consider them to be competitors. They serve different functions. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, nitrogen can be lost in various ways. You know, summarizing it, you can either lose it up to the atmosphere through volatilization, which would require a urease inhibitor, or you can lose it down through the soil profile through leaching or various other means, and that would require, you know, a nitrification type of inhibitor. So there's many different inhibitor products on the market. Making sure you choose the right one for your soil type, how you lose it, and then the right one based on the product that you apply as well is very important. You know, treating urea is going to be different than treating UAN solution. This is different from ammonium. So knowing those differences is very critical when making that purchase.
Absolutely. And I know that and this is obviously off-label for both companies, but one of the things that I had some guys doing this year was they were trying Guardian, which is a nitrification inhibitor. It's not biocidal, so it's an enzyme blocker. It's not going to kill the bugs, but it's kind of, you know, puts them to sleep or tells them they don't need to eat right now. I had some guys running that through the Y-drop this year looking at placement as far as what happens if we would keep it in the ammonium form longer. Do you think there's any intersection between placement and form and so on and so forth?
Yeah, you know, placement, you know, for me, my three priorities go timing, placement, and then rate. You know, most guys talk about nitrogen, they want to talk about how many pounds they've used, but truly, you know, the timing. We need 50% of our nitrogen after tassel. You know, if we can hit that timing, get the placement within 6 inches each side of that stalk, that corn plant would take up the majority of its nitrogen within a 6-inch radius. And then if we can hit that rate, you know, getting closer to that 50% after tassel, we can then determine, you know, what rates we should truly, truly be at. And, you know, a product like Guardian, you know, a lot of times in agriculture, we get caught up in, you know, what color paint we drive. Yep. But if farmers could view themselves as how they make soil microbes the happiest and how we can get them to make these nutrients available to us. You know, without microbes, you know, we don't have nitrogen available to us. Some of our soils can make 100 to 150 pounds of nitrogen available to us if we keep them healthy. So, you know, having a biological such as that to keep those microbes happy could be a great, great product within our systems.
And I don't know that it's going to work. I mean, actually, what we did was the guys I'm working with, we took it at a half rate of what's labeled as far. But again, the labeled rate was developed based upon a guy going out and side dressing with a coulter. And I'm like, hey, boys, we're in a whole new ball game. So we tried some at a full quart, some at a pint, and some at zero. And we've got replicated strips this year. What other kinds of trials are going on with 360 throughout the U.S. this year?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, you know, my three priorities, timing. We're hitting many, many different timings as we cross that uptake curve, placement in a band 15 inches away, 6 inches away, right next to the plant, broadcast, you name it. And then obviously there's a lot of rate trials. You know, the rate trials are very dependent on the year that we have with all the precipitation we have. So there's a lot of comparison trials on timing, on placement between different ways people can apply in different products as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I know, you know, Kip always talks about the only way we're going to learn something is if we go out and try. And a lot of times that means we got to go fail because we learn more from our failures than our successes, right?
You know, with nitrogen, we're learning more. A lot of these studies that we're looking at are 2008, 2009 developed. So, you know, the thing I try to strive against is, you know, the seven most costly words in business. We've always done it that way. Yep. So with this new research coming out and understanding a little bit more about how that plant uses it, it's important that we explore those options.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Stephanie.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
So today I had a very great and unexpected surprise as we're back for the third day of the 360 Yield Center Proving Grounds. I happened to run into Pam Fretwell. Pam, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you after, how many years has it been, you think, since we've run into each other?
Probably about five, maybe.
I think so, too. It is. So, you know, I've been here for 3 days, and we were just talking. It's been a great event. I've really enjoyed it. This is your first day here. What are you hoping to pick up or hoping to learn from the event?
Well, obviously, 360 Yield has got some new products that they're developing and launching, so we want to do some coverage on that. But really, just being here, kind of understanding what the farmers are going through this year, it's a great opportunity to network with farmers and to find out what their challenges have been this year. And, of course, Greg and his whole team, 360, is approaching a lot of those challenges that the farmers have had as far as nitrogen management. And it's just been, as you know, quite a year out there in the field for the guys.
It really has, and obviously with the crop production report coming out yesterday all over Twitter and Facebook, there's been a lot of opinions on that. Have you traveled around much this year, and what have you seen?
You know, I have traveled a lot. I've covered the USDA. That's one of my jobs, is I talk with Jerry Gulke on our weekend market summary and special reports. And, you know, the I states are always made to be the brunt of most of the weight. However, this year we're looking out to the west to make up for some of those I states like Indiana that really have had a lot of devastation. But that's the big question this year. Is the West going to be able to hold up the East? The East has got some major problems. And actually, I'm going to be on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour next week, so we'll see what they have to say. You know, it is what it is as far as what they say it is right now. Now, whether that's going to pan out, as we always know, those surveys are always done 3 weeks prior to the report, and there's a lot of guys out there that are not happy right now. They don't think that they're right. They think that yield needs to be lower, and time will tell. That's what we always say. Time will tell. It'll come out in the end.
And what other events might we be able to find you at through the fall here?
You can find me on AgWeb a lot. I have a radio show, a couple of radio shows there, Straight from the Heartland, also Consumer Ag Connection, and you can always find us on My Farm Radio and find some good podcasts there. So we'll look forward to meeting everybody out in the field, and I cover most of their events. So just looking forward to seeing everybody.
You know, since you mentioned My Farm Radio, I know you're not going to do an official endorsement, but you did say some good podcasts there. And since the Ag Talk with the Ag Doc podcast is there, we're going to go ahead and claim that as an endorsement for me personally, okay?
Absolutely. That's what we want. We want it to be the go-to place for all podcasting. Anything to do with ag, if it's of service to our customers, we want it to be there.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Pam.
All right. Thank you, Kurt.
You've probably figured this out already, but just in case you didn't know it, if you've got questions about any of the 360 Yield Center products, please feel free to give me a call at 641-919-5574. You can also email me at kurt@dynamiteag.com. That's Kurt with a C, by the way, so it's kurt@dynamiteag.com. Also, as we head into the 2015 harvest and we start planning for the 2016 growing season, I'd love to sit down with any of you guys and discuss how we can help make you more efficient and more effective with your fertility plan next year. So before you decide to chase the combine with the spreader, give me a call and we'll figure out how to lower your input costs and boost your yield at the same time. That's going to do it for this week's mini episode of Ag Talk with the Ag Doc. I'm your host, Dr. Curtis Livesey, saying thanks so much for tuning in again to the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us if you haven't already done so. As always, you can find us on the Farm Journal's My Farm Radio app, or in iTunes, or Stitcher, Podcast Addict, etc., etc. You can also get the podcast at our website, agtalkwiththeagdoc.com. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @DynamiteAg. And if you have feedback on this episode or on the podcast in general, or if you have agronomy questions, please feel free to go to DynamiteAg.com and shoot us an email. That's a wrap for this show, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.